only way to know if something's working or not working is through consistency. Because practice doesn't make perfect, perfect practice makes perfect.
Welcome to Bit by Bit, the podcast for writers, hosted by Farmhouse Tax. I'm Michelle Drum, e-commerce and marketing director at the Farmhouse and an amateur equestrian. With me, as always, is Adam Rittenberg, owner of AJR Sport. What's going on today, Adam?
Yeah, it's great to be back for another episode here, and I think we have an interesting topic to talk about. So I think that we're really going to have a lot of fun with this, and the viewers are really going to enjoy what we have to say. We hear all sorts of different things about bits being good, bits being bad, and other sort of misconceptions around them. So I thought that was something interesting that we could touch on today.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Like, what is one of the most common things that you hear that you feel like is a total misconception about, like, amateurs and bidding horses?
Sure. I think that changing bits is beneficial is a huge misconception. I think that that is completely a myth. Because while changing a bit can be beneficial, changing it frequently is not always beneficial because we don't give the horse and the rider an opportunity to find that balance together. We don't create consistency. And the only way to know if something's working or not working is through consistency. Because practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. And so that's how we know the difference between is my bit working or is it not working? Well, you have to practice perfectly in order to know whether something works or not and give it a fair chance. But if there's little things that you're like, I'm just not sure, it's still a little too strong, it's too soft, he's behind it, you have to change your riding a little bit in order to determine, does that bit actually work or not before you just start flipping through the book of bits and putting everything in confusing and irritating the horse. I would say you have to use it for at least a week.
That small amount of time.
I think that a week will give you enough background as to, you know, how the horse progresses. You should really know whether that bit suits. You can flat one day, Cavalettis one day, flat another day, then you're going to jump. So if you use it in all scenarios, maybe you're going to go training one day with it. You know, I wouldn't recommend putting a new bit on a horse and going right in the ring. That's not a good idea. You know, I see a lot of five-star riders do that. I think they're brave.
If you know your horse well enough and you're not making a drastic change, like, you know, this is just a little bit stronger. Let me see if I get a little more break or a little more, you know, a little more response, you know.
I can agree to an extent. I just think, you know, a 150 class or, you know, it's not like we're jumping the 115, a nice schooling jump around to get the feeling. And that's another point that I think a lot of people have a misconception. When they're trying something new, like a bit, a lot of amateurs and juniors, they're afraid to jump smaller because they think that they're going backwards, right? But in reality, that's actually not the case because if you can jump 1 meter perfectly smooth and seamless, you can jump 152. So, you know, I think that that's the other point that, you know, the misconception is if I change a piece of tack, I have to do the same class that I'm doing already. Well, that isn't a fact at all. When you have a bank account and all you do is withdraw, eventually you have
a negative balance.
The same with horses and the same with their emotions and the same with their trust in you. If all you do is miss the distance, withdraw, make mistakes, all sorts of stuff, take, but you never give back, you never give them a little more confidence, nothing you use on the horse is going to work and the horse will stop or run out or whatever it's going to do because you've depleted its resources. When we're going through the process, we should really be mindful of that. Horses are animals. I say that in every episode, but you can never say it enough. Another really big one, I read it on my social media, bits are cruel. Well, are bits cruel? I want to address that very clearly because bits themselves are not cruel. If we back up for a minute and we say, how does a bit work? Where does it go? And how do we communicate with it? Well, it goes in the mouth and we use our hand, right? So you can't blame a piece of equipment for poor handling. When you're riding, you have to think there's that much at stake. Don't blame the tools that you consciously put in the horse's mouth for being cruel. I think that that's a huge misconception that I really wanted to address.
Okay. Now, you know, I hear a lot when, you know, you're at the ring and especially I think maybe the jumper ring where you hear like the kids coming out and they're like, well, my bit's not strong enough or I don't have any brakes. Or what is your thought on that logic?
Yeah. I've said it before and again, I want to repeat myself. Horses have two instincts in nature, fight and flight. Either a horse, when they're in pain, uncomfortable, or annoyed, they either stop or they run. So When a kid is up there, like a little monkey bouncing on the horse's mouth, no problem, everyone starts somewhere.
Absolutely.
But they have to look in the mirror as well. If you're bopping that horse in the mouth, your horse is going to be strong or your horse is going to stop. One or the other, because it can only take so much. It goes back to a bank account. If you lean back over every single jump in anticipation of that horse being strong, he's going to just keep getting stronger or he's going to throw you in the middle of it. When you use your hand improperly, incorrectly so many times, the horse becomes numb. If you're rough with the horse's mouth, it's a very sensitive thing, but if you desensitize it, you will have to go to a stronger bit because there's nothing left. There are so many things you can do with a horse to make it not strong. Maybe the trainer should flat it for 15 minutes before the kid gets on. Bits aren't the solution to everything, which I want to bring up another topic, is a bit solves behavioral issues. That's not it. Again, that goes down to the foundation, how we treat our horses in the stable, the discipline that we give them on the ground. Now, if the horse is dragging you to go eat grass, what makes you think it's not going to drag you when it gets on, when you get on top of it? What I want to know,
what is the indication?
What's the because now it has no respect on the ground. So why do you think it's going to respect you when you get on?
Right.
Why?
It comes down to manners.
It does, and you. I also look at the polar opposite: people dragging horses behind them. Now, understand something about how a horse works. You can't force a horse to walk. They follow you, right?
Absolutely.
You're not pulling that 2,000 pounds, 2,500 pounds behind you. It's not what you're doing. I don't care what's attached to it. So, you know, a lot of the training methods to make a horse walk in front of you is the same principle as when you're riding. It has to be in front of the leg. It should also walk right next to you.
I mean, some horses are just hot-blooded, and yeah. It doesn't mean that they shouldn't be trained or have respect or taught manners or what have you, but I mean, they're just hot.
Well, I agree, you know, but if you look at the big riders, it doesn't matter if the horse is hot or cold or left or right or pink or purple, they're behaved and they have to.
Right. So, you know, I guess consistency starts at home.
It does.
You know, it starts on the ground and it starts at home. So if you're trying to reinforce, you know, manners and decent behavior, I guess, in the irons, you know, I mean, if you're not fair on the ground, why would the horse expect you to be fair in the irons?
Right. And that doesn't mean that we have to be cruel. That just means that we have to instill discipline so that we don't have to overbid our horses in an attempt to train them when they're not even trained on the ground. It's fundamental, right? It's not something a manufacturer normally says, because when no one can train their horse, we sell more, right? But that's not why we're here. We're here to educate. We're here to explain how we can do things better. Another thing is, funny enough, as a bit manufacturer, is do all horses need bits, right? All horses need bits. I hear that all, well, they don't necessarily always need bits. I mean, there's tons of horses that go incredibly well in a Hackamore. Yes, it's a type of bit. Of course, but I'm talking about a physical bit in the horse's mouth, right? No, not every horse needs a bit in its mouth. There are horses that just respond well to nose pressure, and that's enough. When I was a rider, I used to ride the horses. We did a lot of round penning, and I used to ride even the off-the-track thoroughbreds in rope halters around the farm through big fields with one rope in my hand, no reins.
Braver than me.
because the horse had discipline already. So if you did your homework and you did your training and the horse responds well to that method, you can use that method. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a great method for a lot of horses. You see tons of horses at the top level going hackamores as well.
I mean, you know, they use their head and their neck for balance, and if you're inappropriately hitting them in the mouth, you're starting to screw with, you know, how they perform their job.
Absolutely. And that's a big part of our sport, is really understanding the animal. While I do make strong bits, I make them for people that want them. I think they can be tools. I think you can use them sometimes. Stronger bits, I think, really are meant just as training tools. And then you should be looking to work backwards, not looking to go stronger.
Right. Makes sense. So, makes absolute sense.
Yeah. And that's a good one. And then also something else that's interesting is that I hear often that bits, the type of bit you use, determines the horse's performance. But that, I can't agree with that, because
that's like saying every horse should go out and be a 3.6 AO champion. Like,
right.
That's
like saying
works.
every rider should be that, but they're not either. And so the bit or the tack doesn't directly affect how a horse should perform, you know, to that degree. If the training was done right and everything else was done right, it should just be a percentage of the overall picture, right? Not the overall picture. Go back to the basics, right? Take off the back boots, put a normal bit in its mouth, even if it's strong. Put a running martingale on if you feel like you need a little bit of extra help, if it's, you know, throwing its head around, and just go and jump a 1 meter course school. You know, go to these local shows and go jump around. Why was the feeling better? The feeling was better because you put it in your head that it was going to be better. The horse didn't change. You just rode 160 a little different than you rode a meter. Right. You know, we took away
it's
all the things
head.
That... Right. And so that's the other thing. When we talk about bits, a lot of it is a mental game, right? When you put something in their mouth, you automatically ride different because you believe there's going to be a difference. So if you believe the difference, like pretend like you changed the bit and you just ride like you changed the bit, you might actually have a nice result.
Right. Now, the few times that I've changed Lager's bit, I've just been like terrified to touch his mouth. I'm just like, okay, this is barbed wire now. Like, even though it's not, it's like a smooth snaffle. I'm just like, I don't know, you know, how you're going to feel about this. So, I mean, I don't like hold his hand, but I'm like, you know, I'm very aware of my hands, I guess is a good way to put it. I'm aware of whether I'm pulling or picking, or I'm very much trying to keep my hands forward to stay out of his way and see what he thinks and get some feedback from him.
Absolutely. We have to listen to them, and you also have to listen to yourself and your own intuition. I mean, as a rider, everyone has a different feel, but you got to just listen to the horse on the day. Listen to the horse on the day. He'll tell you everything.
Absolutely. But thank you so much for listening, and let us know what you think about this week's podcast in the comments below, or send us a message on Facebook or Instagram. We'd love to know your thoughts and want to hear if you have anything else that you'd like us to talk about. We're happy to share.
Absolutely. Thank you.